Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Very good.
Well, you know, we've had a really nice week weather-wise. It's been fabulous. I mean, I could live with this kind of weather all summer long. I would be so happy.
The nice thing about it is it's spring-like weather. It's not these, I know we had a few of those 90 degree, but it's kind of a nice stretch of, like, I think this is one of the first years that we've really had some nice springish bordering summer weather, and so it's really nice. I was on my deck today. So I work, my office is in my house, so I just take my office to my deck during the to move my printer with me, but anyway, because that's up in my office, but I just do that. And it was so, I just said this morning, I was out there and it was such a beautiful breeze, and it was like, this is a glorious day today.
Yeah.
So I was, no humidity, a nice breeze. It was beautiful. Sunny, not too sunny, like the clouds would cover it sometime. It was perfect. So,
well, I went today to a new place that's called the Salad Shop. Have you seen that?
No, but I know what they are. Isn't it? They have, you pick whatever what you want, and they put it all into a container, and you take it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Well, it's two doors away from where you get, I think you get your nails done there, RMD, the salon on Penn Avenue.
Yes, in the 300 of Penn. I forgot. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, and I finished up an appointment in Scranton, and I had about an hour and 15 minutes that I thought, I wanted to go someplace to go and get some lunch. And so I was driving through town, and I was going to go to Scanlon's. But then I passed this place, and I thought, I want to try this. So I pulled into one of the parking spaces and did my Pango app, and I went in there, and it reminded me of a salad shop that was so many years ago. I think it's Iris. I forget the last name. I think it's Liebman. And a partner did one in the old Chamber of Commerce building. And it was on the street floor on North Washington Avenue. And I remember when I had it. I don't know where you are, but
we're in the old Chamber building.
On the North Washington Avenue side?
Yeah.
Okay, well then maybe it was there. But anyway, it was my office was in the 100 block of North Washington Avenue, in one of those, there's a 12-story building on the corner. And I, every once in a while, with nice weather, I would walk up there, And I love the fact that they serve the salads in these bamboo bowls. And you pick the lettuce, you pick all the other stuff, and you went through a line. And, I mean, these were what we now call Buddha bowls. You know, the size of them was quite big. And instead of it being segregated like the Buddha bowls are, this obviously was all, you know, tossed and it was ready to go. I swear I could, I mean, Meyer would probably have loved it if he didn't know about it, but it was one of those places where you could put whatever you wanted to put in a salad. And it was a big portion. It wasn't a little tiny thing. And that's what I had in my head when I walked into this place today. Not what I got, but it was a different experience, but fun. And
then tell me which year Iris Liebman would have had that place here.
Oh, it would have been in the 80s.
Okay, I probably was living in Philly then. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, this place, you go in all the way to the end, and you come back through, and you have a piece of paper. You pick your lettuce. They circle it. You pick your vegetables and fruits. They circle them. You pick your meats, if you want any, circle them. And then you pick your salad dressing. On the side, light, medium, or heavy. I loved it. So by the time you get through, they put all this stuff in a big silver bowl, like the kind I've used to make salads. And then they bring it over to, I guess it's a place where you would call it like a chopping board, only it's made out of plastic. And they just have these, I guess they're called them mezzalunas, the things they used to do to use for pizzas. And they're just half blades. There's three of them in a row. And they put all of your stuff on this board, and then they keep rolling this stuff back and forth, so they chop it. And it's all chopped up, and they put it in a plastic bowl and give it to you, and it's done. And I love chopped salad. I really do. I've always, they used to have something like that on Ruby Tuesday's menus, and I just love it because you don't have to fight with the food. It's like you just shovel it in, basically. And they serve it with a roll, and they also give you, you know, a little plastic fork and napkins and whatever. And you can eat inside, or they have, I think, three or four tables outside. And
right.
I just loved it. I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. And there's so many different – then I didn't know that they actually have pre-made type things where you can pick the – Lackawanna Avenue salad or the Penn Avenue salad or the Olive Street salad or whatever, but it's not, they're pre-ordered, so they have all the
right.
certain components in them. That's
mm-hmm.
fun, too. You know. And then the thing is, you can either have your salad as a salad in a bowl
or
a wrap.
Right. I was just going to say
and
that.
I thought that was great.
Wrap.
That was just really nice. I hope they are very successful. Because
yeah,
I really like that.
They've been there for a while now. Not that long, but they've been up and going. It, there used to be a salad place. I forget the name of it. It was called Salad Something. And it was in any time when I lived in Philadelphia, I would take a scoot over the bridge and go to over the Walt Whitman. No, not Walt Whitman. The other one. I can't
ben
think of
Franklin.
It. Franklin, thank you, my boyfriend. I should know that. Because if I didn't marry Warren Buffett, I'd like to marry Ben Franklin. But anyway, Ben, we go over, jump on, go to Cherry Hill, and go to the Cherry Hill Mall. And in the food court, they had this salad place. And it was the same thing. Pick all your salads. They tossed it, mixed it, chopped it up, and gave you a wheat roll or a white roll, and that was your meal. And a lot of times I would run over and just do that for dinner, and it was great. So I think it was called Salad Shop or the Salad Something. I can't. Anyway, the concept was great, and it was freshly made, so it was nice. So, yeah, I hope they do well as well. So I want to tell you.
I loved it.
So well, I want to
say what?
Speaking of loving something,
yeah.
Have you heard or have you watched the First Lady series on Showtime?
Mm-mm.
All right, well, you should watch it. They're doing a series, and they flip back and forth to three different First Ladies. And right now they're doing Eleanor Roosevelt, Betty Ford, and Michelle Obama.
Okay.
So they have all these different people playing, like, what's her name? How to Get Away with Murder. What's her name? Viola Davis. Davis. She plays Michelle Obama. Michelle Pfeiffer plays Betty Ford.
Betty Ford? Yeah.
Gillian Anderson plays Eleanor Roosevelt. It is, and I'm telling you, I now am convinced that Eleanor Roosevelt is still alive and walking around, as well as Betty Ford. Both of these actresses are so well played.
Great.
Viola Davis does a nice job too. Some of it's a little, it's a little hard with that one, only because she's an old, like Viola's in her 50s and Michelle Obama was younger, so they try to make, you know, she's a beautiful woman, and yeah. She doesn't look her age, but she just, it's just a little, the guy who plays Barack's a little younger looking, so anyway, but they, I love it. I love every, they're phenomenal actresses, and it is so, I feel like I've now, it's on Sunday night, and it's, I've caught up now last night. It's now, I've watched eight of them.
Oh.
And they are, it is so interesting to know and to see and to understand how people, like, as much as they're all different generations, it's funny how they're all as women are fighting for the same thing. Even as far back as the late 20s and 30s with Eleanor Roosevelt to the 70s, early 70s with Betty, and now, and then the, you know, 2008 to whatever for Michelle. It's just, it's just amazing how that whole thing works out. Because you have to watch it. It's incredible. It's really well done. And so in each hour, they'll start with maybe Eleanor, and then they'll flip to Betty, and it goes back to Betty when she was younger, and Eleanor when she was younger, and Michelle when she was little. I mean, and they say, like, the fact that the stories are true, but they've taken artistic license with it. And it's... so cool to watch that. And then they have, like, certain actual, especially for the Obama section, they have certain actual news clips of different people who, like, reported about something that went on, and it was they used the actual footage. So it's really, really neat. And Peterson's watching it, too, and she said, I never knew how involved Betty Ford was with the ERA and with breast cancer. She goes, I didn't even know she had breast cancer. I said, oh, my God, yeah. And then she said in her addictions, and then the Betty Ford clinic, and it's amazing. And the relationship, and I've always liked him. He was always one of my favorites, even though he's a Republican. And Jerry Ford I always loved. And I don't know why. I know he was only 2 years, and he was never elected to vice presidency or the presidency. But I always liked him. And I like him even more based on what I'm seeing. And I love her. An amazing. And, of course, I've always loved Eleanor Roosevelt, too. And if you could see their relationship and how that played out, Lynn, watch it. It's very eye-opening and how women were treated. And then during the Ford administration, Rumsfeld and Cheney, I don't know what their roles were then, but they are the two biggest jerks. I could go through the TV and punch them. And I know they're just acting in character, but I can't. It makes you think, no wonder you can't stand them. You will feel the same way when you watch it. And then Michelle Obama's relationship with Rahm Emanuel is it's bizarre how these ladies get treated. So you have to watch it. And
okay,
anyone out
I
there,
will.
Let us know comes on at 9 o'clock on Sunday nights, but you can stream it now up to the last show. And I think, yeah, it was number 8 last night. So watch them because they were great.
Oh,
so anyway,
we're gonna have to do some. We'll have to do some binging.
Binging this. So, yeah, okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Laurie and Lynn Show.
Hi, this is Nancy Kamen from WILK's Morning News, and I know Laurie Cadden. A lot of people know Laurie Cadden. And more importantly, Laurie Cadden knows a lot of people. Laurie Cadden Enterprises specializes in fundraising, public relations, and special events. Laurie Cadden can take your business or organization to the next level. This isn't something that you learn about in a book. Heck, it can't even be taught. Laurie Cadden lives it. She knows how to work a crowd, open doors, and build and nurture relationships. With Laurie Cadden Enterprises, you get, ta-da, Laurie Cadden and her 20-plus years of experience. Call Laurie today at 357-8399, 357-8399, or email Laurie, Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, at lauriecadden.com, L-A-U-R-I-E-C-A-D-D-E-N.com. Laurie Cadden Enterprises, because it is who you know.
I'm Dr. Nicole DeNova. Since VREC opened its doors in 2010, we've treated over 30,000 patients, including the puppy whose curiosity led him to a porcupine and the police canine who was just doing his job. VREC is located at 318 Northern Boulevard in Clark Summit and is open 24/7 for your pet peace of mind. To learn more about us, visit VRECPA.com or call 570-587-7777.
ERA, Exceptional Real Estate Agents. When you want to have the best of the best selling your home, you want ERA One Source Realty. With offices all over northeastern Pennsylvania, ERA One Source Realty will give you the personalized service you'd expect from a professional real estate company. They have experienced realtors that have years of experience, which gives you, the home seller, an incredible advantage. They will offer suggestions to make your house sell faster. They will tell you what others will be looking for. They know how to present your home and sell its features, giving you the greatest chance to have your house sell fast. And ERA One Source Realty offers an industry exclusive guarantee. If ERA doesn't sell your house, ERA will buy it. Yes, if they don't sell your house, ERA will buy it. That's peace of mind. That's a guarantee worth its weight in gold. Call ERA One Source Realty today and find out how you can have your house marketed by one of the top rated companies in northeastern Pennsylvania. Call 877-587-SELL or on the web at ERA1.com. ERA One Source Realty, always there for you.
It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Hi, we're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I am the Managing Director and Certified Financial Planner with Women of Substance, LLC. That's a financial planning firm that's devoted specifically to the needs of baby boomer women.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business.
You ready for a quiz?
No. Okay.
Okay. All right. This is called Awareness is the First Step in Gaining Financial Freedom. All right. The following questions are based on Oppenheimer Fund's research. It only takes a minute to see how much you know about dealing with money. Number one, these are all, by the way, these are all true and false. Okay, number one, 60%, 60% of all women end up managing their own finances at some point in their lives.
True.
I would think that this is a strange question. Because the answer actually is false because it's 90%. But 60% is also true.
Well, to me, I thought, I was looking at it as it was 60 or above that. You know, so if it's 60, I wasn't looking at it as an exact number. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's the point. The point is that it's not a very well-worded question because it's not about whether women will be handling their own finances. They certainly will. The question is what percentage.
And yeah, and I didn't.
It's actually, okay. Right. Well, you didn't know. So 90% is actually scary to think about that. But that's because of increasing divorce rates, becoming a widow, and because we live longer. So number two, most women invest their portfolios in investments that are too conservative. True or false?
True.
That's right. Most women are just too conservative when they invest. And there's a key difference between saving and investing. And a lot of women are good at saving, but they don't invest the money. So we need to get that rearranged. Number three, most stock market investors get wiped out at least once in their lifetime. True or false?
Oh, God. Wiped out?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll say yes. I don't know if that's true, but I'll go with true.
Well, it's false. I mean, most historically, that's not true. There are periods of decline, but over the last 50 years, the market has shown overall long-term growth. Mm-hmm. And that's true. I mean, if that's your boyfriend, Warren Buffett, will always concur with that and say, you know, you never get out, because that's when you really lose money. That's the time when you ought to buy in.
Well, I'll have to ask him when we have dinner next week.
Okay, that's fine. I love that idea of how he doesn't do dinner, he does lunch. Lunch is, because dinner's at home. Okay, so lunch, I forget what the number is this year, but he does that on a lottery basis, that all of his investors can, or anybody, can bid on how much they would be willing to pay to have lunch with him. And then whoever wins, whatever that dollar amount is, he donates it to charity. So, if you're up to $500,000 or something, that's fine. Okay, number four, $2,000 is the minimum amount needed to invest in a mutual fund.
No.
You're right, that's false. You can open a mutual fund automatic account builder type program for as little as $25 a month. And that, yes, this is self-serving, because the people who did this research were the Oppenheimer funds, and they just happen to have a family of mutual funds. So, okay.
Great.
Take that into account. The truth is, yes, you can do it for $25 a month. Number five, you need about 75% of your pre-retirement income to live comfortably during retirement. True or false?
Well, my answer would be false, because I'd need 100%. I don't know. I guess is that a percentage thing? It's going to be wrong if I say yes, because it's 60%. I mean,
no,
is that
no, no.
Okay. Then yeah, so, I guess yes.
True. So it's
yep.
true for most people. However, I think if you're thinking about that today, that may not necessarily be correct. You probably do need 100%. And the reason is because of the cost of gasoline, the cost of inflation on everything, the increase in Medicare, Medicaid-type programs, not Medicaid, Medicare and supplemental, is going up faster than almost anything else that you can imagine. I mean, you probably do need 100% in order to make that work. All right, I apologize for having a local phone call here that we never do. Wow. Okay, so, I mean, it doesn't ring at all during the day, but all of a sudden it has to do that today. It'll turn off now, but anyway. Okay, so number six. If a 45-year-old woman plans to retire at age 60, she can expect to live 21 years in retirement, which would make her 81. True or false?
Yeah, true.
Let me just see where I am here. Yeah, it's true. According to the National Center for Health Statistics, a woman that is 45 who plans to retire at 60 can plan on living for 21 years to age 81. Because women live so long, good retirement planning can make a very big difference in how comfortably you live your later years. No kidding. Okay. Number seven, between stocks, bonds, and CDs, over the last 30 years, bonds have appreciated the most out of any investment overall.
False.
Correct. Actually, it's stocks, which we just said.
Right.
You know, over the long term, it's stocks that make it work. Okay, number eight, if a woman can afford to invest only $50 a month, she shouldn't bother.
False.
Correct. A monthly investment of $50 a month growing at 8% a year would be worth $9,147 in 10 years and $29,450 in 20 years. Now, I say, this is Lynn Evans, CFP. I think that's a crock of hooey. Because really, what is that kind of money going to do for you in 20 years? With inflation, $29,000 in 20 years will buy about $1,000 today.
I know, but better than not doing it, at least it's discipline.
Well, it is. It is. And I look at it like, well, whatever it is, maybe it'll be the thing that allows you to go on a vacation like you've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
So in that regard, fine. But it's not going to make a difference in your standard of living.
No, God.
No. Okay. And number nine, a 65-year-old woman with an annual income of $50,000 can expect to have 50% of her income being replaced by Social Security.
No, false.
Correct. It's 30%. So let's just note that, everybody who thinks they're going to make a killing on Social Security. And we have no idea what that's going to look like in a couple of years. But anyway, number 10, and I guess we'll do this like Johnny Carson used to do. The last question, and the audience applauds, a woman's intuitive ability to manage her emotions around money is one of the most important aspects of creating wealth over the long term. True or false?
I would say false.
Actually, it's true.
No.
Women are far more disciplined to stay in the market when things go south than men. And it's actually, it was a research by a woman named Cynthia Fick, expert financial planner. I don't know how you get to be an expert financial planner, but apparently that means something. So research findings come from the Oppenheimer Women and Investing Quiz, Ibbotson Associates, the National Center of Health Statistics, and a WEFA study group.
Well, I got 7%.
Yeah, you did fine. I think the questions could have been done a little bit better. But I also wanted to, before we call it a day here, I just wanted to do a shout-out before I forget this. I wanted to say hi to Heidi of Carum Orthodontics. And Heidi is going on a fabulous two-week vacation in a couple weeks to do some things that she's always wanted to do and never allowed herself to take 2 weeks off at a time. So yay to Heidi, and I hope she has a wonderful, wonderful time.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout-out. Two more. My girlfriend, Linda Chuchil Fazula, her birthday was the 6th last Friday, or the 3rd, excuse me. She was 61. She's one of my best friends since third grade. And I said to her, I sent her a note. I said, I remember exactly what you had on when I saw you the day in Miss Melanskis' third grade class at John Marshall when she walked. I said, I want to be her friend. I remember that feeling.
Well,
I remember
what
she looked like. And I love her. And she's one of my best friends to this day. So happy birthday, a little bit belated. And I also ran into last week, Evie Rufelco McNulty and I were part of the You Live Here, You Should Know This, that for the Historical Society at Montage during the fair. And Evie and I, we won the first round but lost the second round. But anyway, I ran into Linda Kavulich, who was married to Sid Michaels Kavulich, and she came up to me, and we were talking about Sid and how much I think of him and miss him. And she, you know, she said, I have to keep going. And anyway, she said, I listen to your show as much as I can, Laurie. I just want to let you know I still listen. So anyway, big shout out.
Yay.
To Linda Kavulich. And their daughter is the mayor of Taylor, which I absolutely love. And she actually played. She was one of the groups who played in the show, in the little game show. That we, it's a blast. So anyway, hi to the Kavuliches. That's all.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think. There was something else. Well, how about your strawberries?
And then we got to go. Yeah, I have beautiful strawberries. I made this fabulous mascarpone cheese and strawberry cake the other day, which was incredible. And I have two huge amounts of strawberries in my refrigerator that I'm going to do things with tomorrow and make a couple.
Yay.
Strawberry goodies. And they're beautiful. They look great. It's bountiful with the amount of strawberries we've got out of the garden this year. The strawberry patch. I love it. They're fabulous. So thanks to Joe Pirro for planting them all. And he told me, Joni Glover said, oh, are you the infamous Joe Pirro? So she said he was thrilled that we talked. But anyway, so that's it. So we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Mr. Michael McHale. He's a partner with Barbetti McHale, LLC, Certified Public Accountants. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Lynn S. Evans, CFP, co-host of The Laurie and Lynn Show. I am the managing director of a new business, Women of Substance, LLC, a financial planning firm dedicated to the specific financial needs of baby boomer women. I help them navigate through widowhood, retirement, divorce, and job loss. Send me an email at lynn@lynnsevans.com and let me know how I can help you. I'm also the host of a podcast, Power of the Purse, available on more than 30 sites, including iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. We record these lively conversations with women who've been there and have great advice to give others so they don't go down the same dark holes. And we feature some experts who share some great ideas to be prepared before you have to face these transitions. And we have a whole lot of fun. Please don't let the fear of not knowing about personal finances stop you anymore. I am here to take the confusion and mystery out of money. Go to my website, lynnsevans.com, and see how we can set up a time to talk, or browse around the many blogs and other free info on the site. Remember, money's not the enemy. Your ignorance of it is.
The well-established and highly respected Northeastern Pennsylvania certified public accounting firm, Michael A. Barbetti, LLC, is making changes after almost 40 years in business. The firm name has changed and is now Barbetti McHale, LLC CPA, reflecting the addition of Michael F. McHale as partner in the long-standing firm. Although the name and partnership are a significant change, the staff won't change. Their Dunmore location won't change. The way they serve clients won't change. Their work ethic won't change. And Michael Barbetti's involvement won't change. The Barbetti McHale Partnership adds Mike McHale's 3 decades of experience in corporate and not-for-profit accounting for the clients of the regional firm. Barbetti McHale, LLC Certified Public Accountants, provides professional accounting and tax services to all types of clients, ranging from individuals and family-owned businesses to governmental agencies and non-profit organizations. Call Barbetti McHale CPAs at their Dunmore office, and you too can make a change for the better.
Business banking at Fidelity.
We have a great relationship with Fidelity. They're like family with us. They're right next door to my business. If there's ever a problem, just one phone call, I don't even have to go to them. They come to me. It's great. I love being in the business. This was meant for me. We're very busy. I'm running every day, and I love to stay busy. So that's why I need a bank that's going to be there for me when I need them. Back in 2006, we were having a problem with our lease in our other building. We were looking for a place to go. We stumbled upon this location. It's right in the heart of downtown, right in the middle of the city, and it happened to be right next to Fidelity Bank. They went out of their way for us to get this building. It was wonderful, and it's been a great relationship ever since. I have a business line of credit with Fidelity that gives me buying power. My credit card machine runs through Fidelity. My checking account, my payroll taxes, they take care of it all for me. I bank with Fidelity. Don't you?
Member FDIC.
Here's Lori and Lynn.
Hi, we're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I am managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC. That's a financial planning firm that devotes is devoted specifically to the needs of baby boomer women.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business. And with us is Mr. Michael McHale, who is a partner with Barbetti McHale, LLC, certified public accountant at 1421 East Drinker Street. And I'm going to say it, my good old Dunmore, Pennsylvania. So, Mike, Lynn, what do we got talking about? Lynn, you had some questions you wanted to talk to Mike about, so let him.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, I'm thinking back to a time when I was on a board for a nonprofit, and there were some requests for proposals that went in relative to who might be doing the accounting and auditing work for this organization. And I was surprised to learn that in one of the proposals there was some type of, I'm calling it certification, and that's probably not really the word to use, but there was some distinguishing feature for people who have done excessive amounts of work and experience with nonprofits versus those who do it occasionally. So would you speak to what that is, what that distinction is, and why it is an important one to know if you are part of a nonprofit organization?
Yes, absolutely, and thanks again for having me, guys. To your question, Lynn, it's a good one. It's a very good one, actually, and it unfortunately can't be answered quickly, so bear with me for a second. Tis the season for the nonprofit audit, the typical nonprofit audit. Our firm does a bunch of those, and we actually call this audit seasons in our firm because we have so many of them, and we do stay busy year round mainly because of these audits. But you're hitting something right on the nose. Most nonprofit audits, or similarly the government audits, they're similarly a little bit because of the timing. Not necessarily the report is different, but nonetheless, on the nonprofits, most nonprofits put out a request for proposals or request for qualifications, and they go with the best person, not necessarily the best price, but in most cases it's dictated by price. But a lot of times when you put in these proposals with your pricing, they ask for certain things, and you know our firm is members of the particular associations with the AICPA and the PICPA, but I think one of the main things that I'd like to hit on, and that I think you're referring to, is the peer review. Peer review is not something that most people know about or care about, but it's very, very, very important to our industry, the accounting industry, the auditing industry, and in particular when the nonprofits put out a request for these proposals, they ask for your peer review letter. And it's very important to attach those. So what a peer review is, in summary, is another firm, another CPA firm, comes in and reviews the work that we do, to see how well we're documenting everything, whether it be the risk assessments, all the disclosures, and everything that we do that we're doing correctly, and we're up to date in all of our quality control. So the audit that you're getting, they're ensuring that, hey, this firm that's out there that is putting in for this proposal, they affirm that it is, it's a good firm. Our firm has always had good opinions on our peer review, and as a matter of fact, our peer review is happening this month. I don't want to say that it's a stressful time, because we know that we do good work, and we know that we actually probably do a little bit more work than, I don't want to say required, but then we have to, because we want to make sure that all of our work is well documented and make sure that everything that is given out with our letterhead on it on behalf of our clients is good. And we want that good reputation in the industry, and we definitely do have that. So right now at Happy Years, so this is the third year, so this is the first year that I'm going to be with Barb Eddie McKeel that we're going through it. But I used to be a peer reviewer myself at my prior firm out in New Jersey. So it's a daunting process, believe it or not. It's very time-consuming. It's very detailed what they ask for and what they demand. And the AICPA demands some particular items that they want looked at. And they want it, you know, done very, very you know, detail oriented. So it's a process for us that not many know about, but it's important. And again, it's important that people know that who are the good firms out there who have a good, clean peer review letter, and when they come to do your audit, you're assured that this firm is actually doing the work at a high level, and we're proud to say that we do that. So I think that's probably what you were referring to,
yeah.
Because it's particular in the nonprofit industry that it's something that they all ask for when we get into the proposal process, that a copy of the peer review letter. So, like I said, it's ongoing for us right now. So, it's funny.
Mike, what about continuing education credits? So, if you are a firm that generally does, but specifically does a lot of audit work for nonprofits, is there a particular bent that you have to follow in looking up the courses that you would take for your CPEs and things like that? Or is it a requirement that you have a certain percentage of your continuing education credits in audit work for nonprofits per se, or is there some other general way you look at that? It doesn't make any difference.
Well, that's a great question again. I mean, with CPAs, not many people realize of continuing education courses annually, and we have to have a minimum of 20 hours a year. So we can do 40 every year, but at a minimum, you have to do 20. To your point on specifics, our firm dictates what we do. Each one of us are doing. Concentrated on where our work is, where our clients are. If there's a lot of nonprofit work, the majority of the audit courses we will take are in nonprofit. We are required to take a certain amount of those 80 hours, a certain amount of tax, a certain amount of audit, and believe it or not, there's an ethics course that we have to take every 2 years.
Yeah.
I believe that came in after Enron, believe it or not. But it's a good course. It's a boring course, but I think it's a 4-hour course that we're required to take semi-annually. There are requirements. I don't want to bore you with the details of what. Government audits, if we have to come in and do what we call a single audit, which the government dictates exactly what they want to look at, what expenses. If they give you a grant over a certain amount of money, you have to have what they call a single audit, where you go in and you have specified areas and items you have to look at to ensure that the money is being properly spent in accordance with the grant itself. So that's actually a separate audit out of the financial statements, but a lot of nonprofits get grants, and a lot of them are required to do that, and that's where the audit a lot of times comes. But back to your point, your CPE, yes, there's requirements that we have to do that. We skew a lot of our audit to nonprofits because a lot of our work is in the nonprofit audit field, but we still have to do tax and everything like that, and that's for a CPA. But I can tell you our firm there's 15 of us there, including our support staff, and there's 9 CPAs, which is unheard of that you have that many. We have two other professionals that are not CPAs. One has 35 years experience. The other one has 25 years experience. Just chose not to get their CPAs. But nonetheless, they have to take the CPE courses, the continuing professional education courses, just like all of us. We all take them together. Or, you know, you take them whatever your specialty is. to keep learning. So it's a good idea, but we actually have to have more continuing courses than lawyers do. Not a lot of people know that.
I didn't know that.
it's a little bit of a pain, but it's well worth it. You keep up on everything. Things keep changing so quickly. It's a daunting task to keep up that license. So,
yeah, it's interesting you said that because I don't know how many people know that certified financial planners have the same amount of requirements. There's a 2-hour ethics course that we have to do semi-annually, and we have to have 30 credits every 2 years.
Mm.
So
yeah,
it's a good thing because it forces people to stay up to date on information.
Yeah.
It's so easy for the old stuff in the computer minds, you know, to just stick there, and then all of a sudden you get tripped up on something because they changed the tax law, they changed whatever, and you didn't know about it. So that stuff is absolutely critical for the profession.
With the real estate, even our real estate licenses, we have to do 14 hours, and some of that, two of that has to be, I don't know if it's two, I shouldn't say that, but the ethics, we have to take ethics every other year to renew our license. So
it's great.
And they won't let you renew it without verification. Yeah. So that's a good thing.
That's the same with us too. You see the similarities they have with you. We have an ethics, and you know, like I said, we have 80 hours every 2 years, so it's a little bit daunting, but well worth it. And I think in the accounting industry, a lot of times we do things to just change for change's sake. The audit report and the nonprofits and every audit, as a matter of fact, the audit reports are changing this year. This is probably the third time in my career that they've changed. We do something like this every couple of years to make everybody have to redo everything. So, keeps everybody on their toes, though, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, where can people get a hold of you if they need you?
Well, again, as Lori always says, the beginning of the show in good old Dunmar, we are Barbetti McHale, LLC. We're at 1421 East Drinker Street in Dunmore, and our phone number is 570-346-2057.
Good.
Great. Well, Mike, as always, it's a joy to have you. We appreciate your sponsorship, your guest expert and your sponsorship to us. We love your knowledge. We thank you, and it's always good to know that we have the caliber of practicing accounting that you give to this community, and we're grateful for that. So thank you, and everybody else out there, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Be nice and please be safe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.